Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Stream. It's directed by Michael Levy, written by Stephen Della Sala, Jason Levy, Michael Levy, and Robert Privatera. I think I got that. Starring basically everyone, this whole movie is a who's who of horror icons. I mean, we have Daniel Harris, Jeffrey Combs, Tim Curry, Tony Todd, David Howard Thornton, Terry Kaiser, Bill Moseley, Dave Sheridan, Dee Wallace. The list goes on. Oh, Felissa Rose. It's all over the place. They just go, all right, it's the all-star team of horror. Let's get everyone involved. And yeah, plot of this movie is the Keenan family's simple weekend getaway truly turns into a vacation to die for as four deranged killers playing a sadistic game lock down their hotel and compete for the most creative murders of all the guests. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Stream?
This was awesome. I'm so pumped we actually ended up finding a theater that was showing it. Granted, we had to drive almost an hour, but it was worth it.
Absolutely worth it.
We've been waiting for this for a long time. You know, fortunately, we got to talk to Mike Levy on the podcast a few months ago telling us about this and kind of amped up my anticipation for it. Mm-hmm. He mentioned cameos and everything, and holy shit, this movie was loaded with cameos and amazing kills. But it's not like I expected anything else, being that this was made by the same team that brought us Terrifier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This was, like I was saying, a who's who of horror icons. You also had Paul Wiley doing the soundtrack, which is great. Damien Leone doing the practical effects. So it was just a who's who of everyone in this whole, like, Terrifier Cineverse? Like, multiverse? What do you want to call it?
That would be actually kind of cool if they tied them together somehow.
That would be sick.
If it is in the same universe.
Could you imagine having Art the Clown involved? He's like, listen, I got to do this gig on the side. I got to go to this hotel and take care of some people.
So
and
David then, Howard Thornton would play two characters?
Yeah, fuck it. Get double billing.
So if I didn't know that David Howard Thornton was in this movie, I would have known it was him wearing that mask because he has like the same mannerisms and everything that Art the Clown does.
Yep. As soon as I saw in the background where David Howard Thornton, he was player two, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, player two. So just kind of a backstory here. There's four players in this game. So obviously one, two, three, four. So player two and player three was David Howard Thornton and another actress. I didn't write her name down, but they were like a brother and sister duo. And then player one was this ginormous fucking guy. And then player four was just like some regular killer. So David Howard Thornton was player two. But player two was hanging out in the background and he's got like this noose hanging from a tree. And it's like he's trying to set the thing up. And this lady is coming outside the hotel, probably just ready to go home for the night, smoking a cigarette, calling it a day. She sees him in the background, and I knew it was him right away just because of the mannerisms. He moves a lot like Art the Clown, and I think that's part of the whole deal is that he has that swagger to him, that like just movement to him. So I knew it right away, and like you didn't even need to see his face or nothing. You can just tell it's him.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Same. Yeah. He just, the way he moved around, it was just Art the Clown.
Exactly. It was Art the Clown all the way. So he had kind of the same moves going throughout the movie. He seemed like kind of the weird one of the killers. They were all really cool in their own way. Player One, like I was saying, jacked as anything. So he's just destroying people. We had the first kill was ridiculous to Michael Sheridan, a.k.a. Doofy. He got it real quick. So, and it was like, it was such a brutal kill because eye stuff.
Oh right my away. God. You jumped up out of your chair, dude.
Oh my God.
You and the people next to us.
We had basically a row commanded at this theater. And like we had we had our pick of the spots. And I think it's probably because it was just like a late showing. But it was like a whole row of people just wearing Terrifier shirts and shit like that. And we're all just fucking enjoying each other. Just like watching their reactions was awesome. Me fucking sitting there like cringing to eye stuff, of course. That's always a good time for Corey. But dude, his eyeball just went straight into a joystick on an arcade machine.
That was so awesome. Like I don't know how his eye fell out instead of just like exploding or getting like pushed into the back of his head, but it was still pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, good call.
I meant to ask you, did you know who played Player One?
No, I know he was like a stunt guy, like from what I was briefly reading, but
it was Jason Levy.
Oh, I'm getting my shit backwards then. Player Four was the jacked guy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Four was the Batista looking guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Four was the Batista looking guy. And then, okay. So, yeah, I do know that. And I looked that up pretty much when I got home from the fucking movie. I looked all this shit up and in my fucking tired stupor wrote all these notes again. It's fucking crazy.
Props to you, man.
Thanks.
We're talking about this before we were recording, and I woke up Saturday morning and I had a text from Steve that said, I wrote down notes for us. And once again, I opened it up and it was like pages of notes. I'm like, how the hell do you remember like all of these details? He's like a, what did you say, photographic memory?
Yeah, basically.
Or selective memory?
Yeah, I have a real bad selective memory. So I can remember like movies and music, things like that. But if you were to say something to me in passing, probably wouldn't remember it. And then everyone gets upset at me because I don't remember things. I think I'm just a visual person, a visual audio person. Like I need some sort of stimuli to tie things together. And because of that, I can just basically rewatch this movie in my head and write down these notes as I'm going through everything. And the fact that I can even do that, like just going through the whole movie in my head again, is, I think, pretty impressive.
Oh, it is. Because I'm literally the exact opposite. If I had to do this on my own the next day, forget about it.
Nope. You would have to find a way to record it, and then you throw it up online for other people to stream. No pun intended. Yeah. But this movie was great. We really enjoyed it. We were really surprised that we actually were able to find a place. I was just fucking hanging out one day. It was like Friday night, and I'm just dicking around on my laptop. All of a sudden, it just like dawned on me. I'm like, I wonder if Stream is in theaters, or when that's going to be in theaters. And then I just so happened to look, and it was like that weekend where it was being shown. So we fucking lucked out, man. We really lucked
absolutely. Because we were checking, you know, because they were adding theaters throughout the release slowly. Mm. And when you and I initially checked, and I checked like literally every day, and I never saw Methuen.
Really? Okay.
Because we were looking for the Londonderry Theater, and then you texted me Saturday morning, and you're like, Methuen has Stream. I was like, fuck, let's go.
Yep, let's go.
I'm not doing anything tonight. Let's go.
Dude, I had no plans. My family was like, hey, let's go up north to like the lake house or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to go. I think I want to just hang back. Something must have told me to just hang back so we can fucking go see this.
Yeah, it worked out.
It all works out, man, in the end. So, yeah, we had this whole row commanded. We didn't even know these people, but it was like a whole row of us. And it was a good time. It was a really good time. This is a fun movie to watch if you're a horror fan because there's so many people in it. And the people next to us, they're definitely like, I know them. I'm like, oh, God. These, I know that guy. Just
yeah, every time someone would pop up that was like Doofy, they were like, oh, hey, it's what's his name? What's the character's name?
Mike, wait a second. I wrote his name. Oh, let me just scroll through IMDb here.
I am also doing that because I don't remember his name.
We know it's Michael Sheridan, but what the fuck is his name again in this?
It was Dave.
Dave.
Dave the bartender.
Dave the bartender.
Yeah, he was the bartender in the hotel.
Thank you. He was the first one to get the real true kill that we saw on screen.
We didn't talk about this movie fucking opens with Dee Wallace, dude.
Yeah.
Dee Wallace, Cujo, E.T., The Frighteners. Like, holy shit.
Dude, I fucking love The Frighteners. By the way, Jeffrey Combs is in The Frighteners.
Oh,
have you ever
really?
Seen this movie? Yeah.
The Frighteners? Yeah, yeah. It's another one that I haven't seen in a long time, but...
He's like this FBI agent, and his job is he goes undercover for cults, and he like does all these crazy, almost like X-Files, right? Just your kind of fucking weird cases. He does all those. And there's one scene where he's like, he rips his shirt open, and it's just carvings and like symbols for cults and everything. And he's like, my body is a roadmap of pain. I'm like, that's fucking sick.
What a quote.
I love it. I love that movie. I have it on Blu-ray.
Of course
but
you
also,
do.
Of course I do, because I like having physical media. And when Stream comes out, you got to put that shit on Steelbook, and I'll buy it.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah. Someone hit me up, or hit us up, about, what's the name of the movie? The Frogman. The Frogman's going to be on Steelbook.
Who did? Where?
The fucking, like, director. Hey, it's going to be on Steelbook. I'm like, oh, okay.
Where'd that happen? I didn't know about this until just now.
On Twitter.
Oh, okay. Shows how much I pay attention.
I'm surprised. I feel like you might pay attention to Twitter more than me.
I guess not, and this proves it.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're not doing your job, man. What the fuck?
I know. I got to engage more.
Yeah, you have to engage. You have to talk to people. While I'm just sitting here doing editing and graphics and shit, and I'm just fucking falling asleep.
You didn't have to do that at 2 a.m.
I really didn't. Halfway through my notes, I'm like, I think I could go to bed and remember this in the morning. I don't think I would have. I think I would have been struggling Saturday morning or Sunday morning, whatever, to fucking get everything all noted. I would have been in trouble.
You could have done it yesterday. You'd have been fine. I have faith in you, Steve.
Well, thank you. I think I would have been okay, you know, with my fucking photographic movie memory. It's so fucking weird, man. I don't get it. Dude, if I was that way in school with fucking books, forget it. I'd be like at MIT or Harvard or whatever, something like that. I would be doing all right.
I'm just reading through the notes here.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, you said, so I was reading your note about how we first meet the family in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm reading it, it didn't make sense. He's just sitting there watching old time videos of like his family, you know, back in the old days. And Kevin... He gets Kevin, who has more streamers than you ever did.
Yep.
And he's probably 7 years old, something?
Something like that. He was 11. He was
11. 11
years. Yeah.
Okay. So he has, 1,200 people watching him play with some game?
I don't know what it was. It was kind of like a ripoff of Fortnite, but
yeah.
he was doing all right. Apparently, this kid is a whiz when it comes to technology, though. But I thought it was so weird that Roy, the husband, he's sitting there and he's crying watching these home movies. And when you see that shit, you think like, okay, the whole family died in a car accident or a house fire or a brutal murder of like the whole entire family or something, right? Like the husband's broken, he's upset. Obviously, we know that's not the case, but for some reason, that's what I immediately went to. Like, I immediately thought of that. And then I'm just thinking to myself, oh, wait, what am I even thinking? The whole family goes on this trip. We know this. I thought that was a little weird, but that allowed him to go upstairs and talk to his son and be like, hey, the camera's broke. And he's like, I don't know what to do with this. This thing's ancient.
He says he doesn't know what to do with it, but he tells him how to convert it to digital. Like, what?
Okay, fair. I guess he knows what to do.
So he lied.
He did that.
Kevin's a liar. He should go eat razor blades again like he did in Terrifier.
What a little douche. You sent that to me this morning, and I was like, no fucking way. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was going through the IMDb here getting ready for the recording, and I clicked on him. And sure enough, he was that kid that fucking at the Clown Cafe.
Yeah, dude, I would have never put two and two together.
But
I had no
somehow
idea.
Somehow he looks exactly the same. And Terrifier 2, was it last year or the year before?
Year before, I believe.
Yeah, it looks exactly the same.
Yeah, he hasn't like really grown up that much.
No.
He needs milk.
He needs more cereal with razor blades in it.
Exactly. Get that like muscle milk or whatever and just put it in the cereal and you're good to go. And then you can have your razor blades and you can grow healthy and strong, I guess, at the same time.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, for being as young as that kid is, he did really well.
Yeah, he did really well for sure.
He can act his ass off.
Yeah, he had obviously a pretty big part in this movie, so it's not like he was kind of just, I don't know, kind of...
Like a throwaway character.
Yeah, like a throwaway character. However, Daniel Harris, throwaway character, apparently.
Oh, dude. All right, so I got to ask you, bringing this up, What was your favorite death?
I'm going to go with that.
Okay, I was going to say the same thing, because that, oh my God.
It was so vicious.
Yeah, we watch a lot of watch a lot of deathmatch wrestling and Japanese wrestling, and they use a lot of barbed wire, but I've never seen anyone get their head cut off with it.
Yeah, because tied this barbed wire around her throat and just started sawing with the barbed wire. Now, I've seen Terry Funk versus Sabu, and that barbed wire match, man, is like top tier.
Is that the one where Sabu ripped his bicep open and needed like 70 stitches?
100, but 100? Yes.
What's that one? Okay.
Yeah, but he used super glue instead. Or like in the middle of the match, he was wrapping his arm with tape, and then he's like getting a neck breaker at the same time.
Yep, I remember this. I have a photo of it on my wall.
So violent. And this was unbearably violent. I'm watching it, I'm like, oh.
That's another one. Dude, everybody in our row was just losing it. And you have me in the middle just smiling like a fucking kid in a candy store.
Yeah, you beating off or something.
Oh, I wonder why
the floor was sticky.
That was the butter from the popcorn, Steve.
Got it. I didn't eat too much this time. I was actually a little considerate.
I know. Joanne was very happy when I brought her home half a giant bucket of popcorn.
She's
right. She loves stale popcorn the next day, so.
She loves stale popcorn?
Dude, she had it for breakfast yesterday.
No shit. Okay.
It's her favorite.
To be honest, I was getting a little annoyed by that popcorn because every piece I got was like unpopped. So I'm just like.
Oh, yeah. I like broke a tooth.
I just like my teeth is so strong. So I just compressed it into one of my teeth. And I'm like, fuck. So I'm like tonguing it for an hour. Trying
just
to
start
get the
swallowing
thing.
Them at that point.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And just let it grow in my stomach.
But. Start growing corn in your belly?
Fuck yeah. My stomach will just be like,
oh, okay. I see what you did there.
Yeah, you see that?
Yeah. I accidentally grew corn once.
Grew it in your stomach?
No, bird seed. We had a bird feeder and just kernels falling on the ground. Fucking corn stalks started growing.
Wait, what?
Yeah, but can't eat it because it's like display corn or whatever. Yeah.
Display corn.
Not display. I'm trying to think of the word, but you can't put corn kernels from bird seed in the ground because it's, I can't remember what the word is, but you can't eat that.
Okay. Fair, I guess. That's news to me. I've never heard that.
Yeah. No, so, I wasn't growing my own Jonathan Davis's, unfortunately.
Can you imagine? It just has fucking like corn stalks and they're all wearing Adidas.
And they all have his H.R. Geiger microphone stand.
Oh, absolutely.
And kilts.
Yep. Exactly. Just comes out with dreads and everything.
How many times have we talked about corn on this podcast?
God, there was one time where we literally went on a tangent longer than this, by the way, because I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Dude, we went on for minutes and minutes and minutes about it. So then we were like, we're reviewing a movie.
Someone actually reached out to us about that. They were like, I love this episode. You guys actually like know your movies and you talked about corn a lot. It was awesome.
We're trying to hit all the demographics.
Something.
What?
It was another director, actually, that reached out to us about it on, it was Instagram, actually.
Well, we got
to
get them on it.
Let's I don't remember who it was, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get them on. We'll talk about movies and corn, and we'll make it an interesting episode.
We can have a corn trivia episode.
Oh, man. I think
you would win, though. Yeah.
I would win that. Like, Jonathan Davis's birthday, January 18th. I got it, man. All these fucking, 1972?
I got to Google this real quick.
72, 79? It's one of them. No, it's 72.
What did you say?
72?
71.
Ah, shit. All right. I was close. Come on. That's good. That's real good.
He's fucking 53. Holy crap.
Good for him.
Brian is 54.
Okay. Wow.
Fieldy? What?
I haven't seen Fieldy in forever. I don't know what he's up to.
He's in rehab, I thought.
Is he? He's been there for a while then. Holy shit. He didn't look like he was a mess. I mean, he's still doing this like thing on stage, like ding, dun, ding, dun, dun. Like
he hasn't been with Korn in a long time, dude.
I know it's been a while, but he's 54.
Holy shit!
Yeah, they're all in their 50s. That's wild. So wild. All right, moving on. Back to the movie. We're done with that topic. So Daniel Harris, also known as Elaine, had the most brutal death in this whole movie, in my opinion. However, tic-tac-toe, my friend.
Oh. Dude, that one was fucking long and drawn out.
Oh, God, it went on forever.
Just carving up this dude's chest.
Yeah, literally. Just, they carved a tic-tac-toe game on this guy's chest, and then they just started playing. and it was player two and player three. So it was like David Howard Thornton, and it was the other girl, the girl that was playing his sister in this. So yeah, they started doing the X's and O's on it, and it was brutal. This guy got fucking destroyed, but also he had this giant ass nail jammed through his hand, looking like he's Jesus on the cross or whatever. And they're just having their way with him. It was brutal. But I also think we need to talk about the sister here, because she's a pretty important part of this movie, but for some reason she was gone through most of it.
That's what I was thinking. Like, it's not that she was a useless character, but it's like she finally meets those, like, were they French?
Yeah, French.
She meets those French guys at the hotel, and then she just takes off. And yeah, this is all in the beginning of the movie. And then she shows up at the end for the pivotal twist.
Yeah. Oh,
which,
God.
Which was fucked. But
yeah, it was, man. And it felt so weird, like, that happened. It was so random. But I can understand why it happened.
It was random, but, like, you knew they brought her back for a reason the second they pinned her against the wall with, what was it, the other French guy, the guy she was seeing. They got double speared.
Yeah.
Which, how was she still, like, walking around and functioning after getting a spear halfway through her stomach?
Well, I would think that it was, like, half the spearhead went in, which I'm sure it fucking hurts like hell, but it's like not all the way in. However, she's kind of a skinny one, so it's not like there was a lot of fat to really protect that. Like, for me, I might be all right. I mean, it hurt like a son of a bitch, but I think I have a little extra to save my internal organs from getting stabbed. So I'm thinking that maybe because it went through the first French guy, that kind of stopped it from going all the way in. Like, there wasn't enough force to go all the way through her too. So I think he stopped most of it, and it just kind of went halfway in. So that's how she was, like, fine. But she was moving around perfectly fine after that. So
yeah.
She didn't sell it too much.
Mostly just kind of an annoying character for most of it, because she's just, like, your typical angsty teenage girl who doesn't want to do anything with her family and wants to distance herself and drink and do drugs with her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And her family's, you know, we're going to go on a vacation together so our family can be together for the weekend. And she doesn't want to be there.
I get it. I was the same way. I just, like, wanted to do my own thing. And my parents are trying to get me to do things. And, you know, like, you take that stuff for granted. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like, at our ages now, like, that type of shit, it means a lot that you got to spend that time with your family. And we think, you know, if you think back on it now, it's just those family trips mean a lot. Like, you know, my dad's not around anymore, and I think about those trips we had as a family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they mean a lot now that I think back on them. And yeah, maybe I was an asshole as a kid to my family, but
yeah, I had
kind of cherish the memories, you know?
Yeah, I cherish the memories. I loved my family, but I had a lot of shit going on in my life that was like, I was basically like dark Steve, like goth Steve, if you want to think of it that way.
Changed?
Not much. Not much. Like, I think I'm a little like funnier, but other than that, I was just like miserable. I was really like miserable like when I was younger, but we did so many fun things. My family's great. I have no complaints. Everything's good. But I think I was wrapped up in my own shit in my head, and it affected me from really taking advantage. And I look back now and I'm like, yeah, I was kind of a pissed off dick when I was younger, but I had my reasons. However, I cherish those times I spent with the family doing all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, so that's just it. Like, I get it, where they have this kid who's, she thought the same way we did when we were younger, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so she wants to be her own person, do her own thing, and she's 17 years old, whatever, and she's almost an adult, that type shit. And yeah, man, she wasn't really in this movie a lot. One thing I didn't get, by the way, she used a fake ID to buy beer at the hotel. However, she went and stole it from the store. Why not just buy it?
I don't know. Maybe she had it printed afterwards for the trip, or...
Oh, maybe. That's a good call.
Or maybe the store, she's a frequent flyer, so all these people around where they live know that she has a fake ID. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. Like, this is one place in Alston, Mass. It's this liquor store. And, dude, they have this whole wall, basically wallpapered, of fake IDs.
Of people they've caught?
Yeah. It's so fucking funny. I have to see it every time I'm like in that area because it's just too funny to see. Man, you should check it out. It's, I can't remember the name of it, but it's literally down the street from O'Brien's.
So I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know the next time I'm going to find myself there, if at all.
That's fair. We were there recently when we saw, help me out.
Oh, Fuck.
Oh, God. Why can't... Oh, my God. It's...
Oh, Bill Murray.
Thank you. I don't know why I didn't remember that. Like, that's the same name as Bill Murray from Ghostbusters. I should have remembered that. So, yeah, we were there
recently.
That's
right. We drove by it.
Yeah, exactly. We drove by it, and it's in that area, but it's kind of funny to see. But also, that's the kind of area where it's like college kids, so they can't drink yet, but they're doing whatever they can to drink. Good on them, but do better. Y'all fucking up. So, yeah, we're not really going to go scene by scene with this movie because we want people to enjoy it. I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be streaming soon, maybe on Screambox. He didn't tell us anything about where it's going to be, right?
Where it's going to be streaming?
Yeah.
I would imagine also Screambox just because they have all the other Fuzz in the Land stuff.
Yep.
But no, he didn't tell us, and we're still hopeful that it did well enough this weekend that it's going to get an extended release in theaters. Exactly. I really fucking hope it does because, like, indie horror is not a thing, really, like, on a larger scale anymore.
Yeah.
And this type of shit needs to be seen because, like, a lot of horror fans probably don't even know it exists.
No, which, I don't think they do.
You know, hopefully enough people hear the podcast and we'll check it out because these guys did such an amazing job. And I'm kind of sad that I didn't know about the Indiegogo because I would have contributed because we would have had our names in the after credits scene.
Yeah, you would have just been your name because I'm broke as fuck.
I would have put it in our name. Oh, it would have been 30 Screams or Less.
That would have been actually pretty cool.
But so, I didn't know about it. Otherwise, I would have.
Yeah, I wish we knew too. Yeah, there was so many fucking people that contributed because I'm watching the credits and we're trying to make sure there's no after credits deal like, I don't know, Marvel movies or some bullshit, right?
That which there was supposed to be, but we got cocked out of that.
What do you mean? We got to see like upcoming footage. Like nothing like trailer, but we saw like behind the scenes, things like that. That was fun.
There was supposed to be a Screamboat Willie trailer. Everybody else saw that fucking trailer.
Yeah, we got
we cut. Didn't get it.
Yep. Didn't get it. Bullshit.
So
that's all right.
AMC and Methuen, Steamboat. Why did that get cut out?
I don't know. We got another Steamboat Mickey movie, Steamboat Willie movie that, oh God, we're going to be reviewing soon. The regret in my voice for that movie.
Yeah, let's
we're gonna save it. We're gonna save it.
I don't want to because we already recorded that episode, and that's the only time I'm ever gonna talk about it.
That's it. That's the only time. That'll be
until Screamboat Willie comes out, and we inevitably end up comparing the two.
Of course we are. Oh my God, are we? But I think it's gonna be way different. I think obviously bigger budget. I feel like the whole team there, they have a little bit more say regarding budget, you know, especially how well Terrifier did. A lot of these movie investors, producers, whatever, they're like more willing to kind of put their money on the line for these movies because they have a proven track record.
Yeah, well, not only that, but like I have way more faith in Mike and Jason Levy and the whole Fuzz on the Lens team than with horror because they're horror fans. They're not out there to just make a buck, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I have more faith in that whole team than I do with some fucking rando who made the Mousetrap or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Mousetrap. And that's fair. That's a fair assumption. The Mousetrap, I'm not talking about it.
No. If you want to hear that, you can probably hear that one on, September 9th. You'll be able to hear that episode.
Yeah, something like that. If I get it done in time, which I will. It'll be probably done this fucking week. So we'll see.
Shit, that's the same week as Silver Scream.
Oh, shit. All right, well, whatever. We're going to release it. Also, we'll be at Silver Scream Con. So if you're there, come say hello. We'll be the douches wearing press passes.
Press passes and Dirty Screams or Less shirts with our stupid faces on them.
Yep, exactly.
So you'll hear a lot more about this between now and then, and also maybe a guest.
Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. So we're super pumped for that. But let's get back into the movie. Man, this movie is jam-packed with so many horror icons. So, like, the main, obviously, protagonist was Jeffrey Combs. And he was Mr. Lockwood? Yes.
Dude, seeing fucking Herbert West in a different role, like, this far down the line was awesome. And he was so good.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely probably, like, acting-wise, you know, was the best in this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
But everyone did great. Who's the guy that played Roy? Charles something, right?
Yeah, but I don't think I've seen him in stuff before. He might be in some horror movies, and I'm drawing a blank on it.
Yeah, Charles Edwin Powell. So every time I've never seen him before. Every time I saw this guy on screen, I thought it was Jason Bateman.
Okay.
Don't tell me he doesn't look like Jason Bateman.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay.
So he was in, I'm just looking at his roles that he's known for, Exorcist 3, Screamers. Oh, and he's in Screamboat.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So there was one thing. Oh, God. Where is it? The detective in this movie. And the first thing I said to you when we got out of this movie, I go, you know, that's the dad from Sister Sister.
So that's like all these crazy cameos. Like you had him and you had the guy from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. Was he in that? I'm trying to find if he was because, dude, that looks like him. 100%.
Oh, no. He was. I looked it up as soon as we got out. He played
Francis. Hold on.
Yeah, Francis.
Francis.
Yep. Insane.
Oh, hey, Francis.
He was in Leprechaun, A League of Their Own, Naked Gun.
Oh, Naked Gun, by the way, is completely underrated.
I remember watching that movie on Christmas Eve one year with my with my family.
That's a movie you take a little jabapo to, right? Take some Eddies, you smoke a little jabapo, you watch that, and you're dead.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. That movie is, like, the whole series is ridiculous.
What are the crazy people? So we had Felissa Rose, who was fucking legendary, like Sleepaway Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Bill Moseley, well, like the House of the Thousand Corpses movies.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Leatherface, too. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, too. He was in that.
Yes. Yep. Devil's Rejects, Repo, Night of the Living Dead.
Wait,
so he
Repo
was in
the Genetic Opera?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I
That's
love
a
that
movie I haven't seen in a while.
So much fun.
That is a fun
Daniel
movie.
Roebuck. Daniel Roebuck was awesome. He's like the drunk guy in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Who also is playing Santa in Terrifier 3.
Not Art the Clown?
We already have an Art the Clown.
I know, but he's not playing Santa?
What the fuck are you talking about?
You said Santa, right?
He's playing Santa, the actual Santa Claus, who killed.
Okay, he gets killed, and Art, I'm sure, is going to be the new Santa.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably
all the posters we've seen is probably, you know, Dan Roebuck's face that Art's wearing as a necklace.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't know that, but, like, I'm just guessing.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But, man, this, like, if you went to any horror convention, just, like, take everyone and just put them in a movie. That's what this was.
Yeah, and that's what it was, man. It was such, like, an homage to horror fans. I keep saying it. Like, the Levies and the Fuzz on the Lens team, they're obsessed with horror just like we are, so they know what we wanted to see.
Yep.
And the cast proves it.
Absolutely. But, let's talk about a couple more kills here. I want to talk about this kill, because Mr. Lockwood decides to get his hands dirty, too. And, dude, the knife that he was using on the fucking Francis there.
It looked like a corkscrew.
It looked like a corkscrew knife. I'm just like, fuck, that's got to hurt so bad. Because if there's anything I've learned from watching Face Off, when you jam the knife in and turn it, the wound won't heal correctly.
Yeah. The pain is probably like 1,000 times worse, too.
Oh, man. Because, yes, he's stabbing it, and then he's just turning. And brutal. Oh, man. Yeah, he did that. And then he just jabbed it in or stabbed him in the fucking ear. And same thing, just dig it in there, just dig it in, and then dead. And you know what, like, there's one thing that's cool. You know what, I don't know if I want to give this away, but maybe I will anyways, fuck it, because we already said spoiler alert at the beginning.
Yep.
So he was dressed up like fucking Marty Scroll, the wrestler. You know, he had the fucking whole, like, mask on, that beak-looking mask. I don't know what they call that beak-looking mask, though, and I think they wear that at fucking masquerades and shit. Where, like, people are just banging and wearing masks.
like a Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah, exactly. The, what is it called? Eyes Wide Shut. That's
yep.
it.
Nicole
yeah.
Kidman?
Yeah, exactly. What a fucking weird movie, man.
I don't know if I ever watched it.
It's, don't even bother. It's not worth it.
Okay, you don't have to tell me twice.
Yeah, if I'm telling you, don't bother. Just really don't bother. But it was whatever. Wait, Eyes Wide Shut? Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, I'm just second-guessing myself. Yep, I'm right. I don't know why I'm second-guessing myself. I fucking pulled that out of my ass. Of course I knew it. My brain's like, it's here. Don't worry. You can have it. So, yeah, he gets his hands dirty. Towards the end, there was, like, a lot of cool stuff. So, the end fight between Mr. Lockwood and Roy. So, Roy was dressed up as one of the killers because he was able to take one of them out.
So, did you actually see that happening? Like, Roy being the killer? Or taking player one's costume.
Foreshadowing? Yeah, I can definitely see that because...
The fight in the hallway?
Well, the fight in the hallway, but earlier in the movie, one of the cameras got destroyed and Michael Levy took a little bit of a bump off a ladder.
You know, committed to the bit. He did.
Yeah, good for him. Taking a little bit of a bump. A
little bump ski into the floor.
Yeah, a little bump ski, and he was knocked over by the drunk guy. And in like that whole sequence, the camera broke and he couldn't use it. So he had to let Mr. Lockwood know that, hey, I can't use the camera. It's broke, but we'll be fine. And he's like, it's your ass. It, like, it better be good. That type thing. So Michael Levy wasn't in this movie too long. He was just like your hired tech guy. He's like, pin me, pay me, get me out of here. That type deal.
Pin me, pay me, the jobber.
Yeah, he's a jobber. He just goes in, he does the job, fucking leaves. And hey, that's fine. He has more acting credits than I ever will in my entire life.
Yeah, unless we're in Terrifier 3.
Hey, 100, I'm going to put it out there. Let's make it happen. 30 Screams or Less, Terrifier 3. We'll just be like the podcast talking about some random person going around acting like they're Santa. And then we die. I'll die by the hands of Art the Clown for my craft.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck it.
I'll do whatever.
Yep.
Although I'm sure it's done, so maybe Terrifier 4.
Yeah. Well, I'm
or Stream 2.
Or Stream 2.
There's going to be a sequel.
That makes so much sense for us to be in Stream 2.
Right.
Because we're like, you know, it's all about the digital age, if you want to think of it like that. It's all about tech, right? And we're here, we're podcast, we're online, all that shit. So it makes sense for us to be in this.
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, Michael, Jason, if you listen to this, we are formally throwing our names in the ring for a cameo in Stream 2. Even if I'm getting my head cut off, I want to be in it.
So what you do, right, is like you just cut his head off and you stream his head. And I'm like, Corey, why aren't you talking? And then you're just sitting there with the microphone in front of your mouth the whole time, decapitated.
I'm just dead.
Dead. Super dead. Uppercase D-E-D dead.
Yep. Don't forget that.
No, we can't forget that. As I was saying, I kind of don't want to go too much into the particulars of this movie because I want everyone to see it when it comes out. Our boy Mike and everyone involved, they did awesome on this movie. So we want to show our support. And we want everyone to see it on Screambox as soon as it fucking drops. My money's on Screambox. It's a safe bet.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I think just because of other Fuzz on the Lens stuff is on there, that's where it's going to be.
For sure. Yeah. Unless for some weird reason it jumps to Shudder, but I don't know. You know what? Doesn't matter. When it's up for digital and you have to rent it, do that. That way they can make some money. Well, they'll make money on streaming anyways, but I'm sure more money with fucking buying it.
Yeah,
but
definitely support them.
Yeah, definitely support them. They did an awesome job. Let's get into our review, though. Corey, what do you give Stream?
This is an easy 5 out of 5 for me. Tons of fun. Really some great gore. And this is a perfect example how you can use a single setting to make a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the house in the beginning, it was really all inside of a hotel. But they told us in the after credit scene that it was filmed in Olivia's grandmother's house. I don't know if I'm being trolled or what, but if it was, fucking more props to them.
I think we're being trolled a little bit.
Also, Paul Wiley crafted such another incredible score that fit this film perfectly. And I can't wait to see what he does with Terrifier 3. I'm assuming he's doing it, but I'm sure there's no question there. But Stream, awesome. Well worth the wait. Yeah. No complaints.
They're a tight-knit crew, man. They all work together. They all trust each other. So it's probably going to be Paul Wiley on Terrifier 3, 4, 10. You know, all that stuff.
Hey, did you see Stream is getting some shirts. So Terra Threads is doing some stuff for Stream this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've been teasing it. I mean, obviously there's player one and player two shirts right now. You can get at Scarepros, who's awesome. Buy all your shit from Scarepros. Chris is awesome over there. He's always treated us well. Got my cool Funko Pops from him, and I've got my Art the Clown Santa Claus mask coming in, and also the Stream masks. Scarepros. Anyways.
Okay.
Terror Threads.
Throwing a little plug ski out.
Some plug skis.
Yeah.
Terror Threads has Stream merch coming out this week. So, well, it'll be last week by the time you hear this. But make sure you buy some of that stuff and show your support for them too.
Absolutely. You know what? If you want to throw plugs out, what's that one fucking company you love?
There's several.
Well, the Disney one.
Oh, Magically Horrific. Which I have Steve to thank for this, for fucking taking half my bank account. But I love it. So basically what they do is they take Disney stuff and they mix it with horror creatures or characters.
It's fucking great. It's so funny.
I pre-ordered the Jason one, the purple Jason one, the other day.
Oh, like the Nintendo Jason?
Yeah, so it's Jason as the NES, you know, purple.
Yeah.
But Mickey Mouse.
All right. That's so sick.
Yeah, so,
it's so awesome.
I have that one pre-orders.
I'm surprised no one's jumped on like a Steamboat Willie t-shirt slash some sort of horror icon, whatever. Just throw someone in there. Like, that would make so much sense, too. Because that's all part of the whole Disney realm. There's got to be something.
It might happen. Yeah, I've talked to the guy that runs that company, and we should get him on here. He loves horror movies.
That would be cool.
I think his name's like Ryan or something. I've talked to him about some stuff, so.
Okay. Hey, yeah, hit him up. Feel free. We'll see.
Word. We'll
Why
do.
Not? Yeah. So I'm going to go with a 5 out of 5 on this as well. Definitely a fun, jam-packed with tons of horror icons movie. The kills were great. The soundtrack was amazing as usual from Paul Wiley. It's got that like that synthy sound, which I love. We've discussed this in depth regarding like, you know, the kind of scores that I like. And Paul Wiley just hitting it out of the park again, per usual. So we
you met him, right?
Yeah, I met him. Seems like a nice guy.
Because you got me like a personalized thing from him. I can't remember if that was from you or somewhere else.
That was from me.
Okay.
Yeah, because I got like a vinyl sign for you, and I sent it back in like the weirdest fucking packaging.
That's right, because you were living in Florida at the time.
Yeah, I had to find a way to ship that thing to you like as safely as possible.
Yeah, you shipped it in the biggest fucking box known to man.
I didn't know what to do. I was like, I had all these boxes lying around. So we're just like, all right, what can we do? And we put this whole contraption together. And hey, it made it to you safely. Oh, you know what? I want to talk about this. About the ending. The after scene shit. The after credit shit. Or should we maybe save that? Let people see it from themselves.
Yeah, let's not talk about it. Well, you have to stay towards the end.
Yeah, just
nice
stay towards
setup
the end.
And some more, what were we going to say, more cameos?
Yeah, there's some more cameos at the end. Didn't reference them because there are a lot of cameos at the end in that scene. Like, it's just fucking like, oh, here's a whole shit ton of them, like right away. It's like, whoa, okay, cool. But fun movie, loved watching it, loved getting to see it in theaters and be like, hey, that's our guy, we know him.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it started off with the whole gang just thanking everyone for seeing the movie and stuff. And it's always cool to kind of see that at the beginning. Same thing was done for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
Yes, that's right.
I like when directors and like the whole crew and stuff do that. So I think it's a nice touch. It's very cool. I like when, you know, they all do that. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.